Oh boy.
Okay, so I went to a psychic and she told me that in 14 years I would be absolutely heartbroken by something. And I was like, "Well, what is it? What is it?" And she wouldn't tell me. And I was like freaking out and I was feeling so bad and down about it. I decided to go out and adopt a puppy.
Oh my God. That
So this is the official
me
start of the episode.
a
We are recording on an eclipse. An eclipse happened late last night, early this morning. Have you, either of you guys felt the eclipse happening?
I've been very tired, but that's not unusual.
Yeah, I helped set up a Renaissance fair booth this weekend, and I am also absolutely wiped.
Feeling like quitting your job, divorcing your spouse.
I work for myself and I don't have a spouse, so no, none of those.
Well, that's my advice to anyone listening. If you need to divorce your spouse, do it right now. This is a great time. If you need to quit your job, do it right now. I love my main job, and it doesn't quite pay enough to support my lifestyle, which involves a horse and sheep. So I have secondary side hustles. The side hustles take away from my writing time. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna not do the side hustles anymore, and I'm gonna focus on writing. Whatever happens, happens prior
Good for
towards
you.
my creativity. So that was my eclipse thing. I'm like prioritizing my creativity because my tarot bunny said so. If you guys are following
I
the Instagram, my tarot rabbit.
did see the Tarot Rabbit predicting about season three.
Yeah, which brings us to our group chat. Chloe in the group chat brought up a great topic for us to get started with, which is real talk. Where is everyone at? Feeling wise, vibe wise, what are your thought process? What's your reasoning behind the possibility of a season three now that David Jenkins has told us it's the end of the road? Are you still hoping it will happen, or are you sitting with your acceptance shark?
This is complicated for me because I was like, it took me a while to get into the whole like renewal vibe to begin with. Because, I'm an Izzy person. So, like, ending season two, I was like, not feeling it.
Even
But,
like season three, like Izzy crawls out of the grave.
well, I mean, the big reason I wanted a season three was to give them a chance to fix it. And I go back to like season one is so perfect and they can do this again. And, let's give them the chance and all that stuff. So then I got really into the like save our flag means let's go to season three, all that stuff. So I am very middle of the road right now as far as like possible future. But, I said earlier we can do a Broadway musical for season three. I'd be all about that.
My God, I love a Broadway musical.
I feel like I'm very much the same as Ringo, actually. So personally, I remain on the Warner Brothers killed OFMD. It's dead with a capital D regarding season three. I love a film, though, to be honest. Like Serenity for Firefly. Like that show got one season. Veteran actors were like, yeah, no, definitely getting canceled. And then like they managed to get a film. They've had a bunch of graphic novels, which I haven't read, but respect them. I love Serenity. You know what, though? I'm furious at streamers constantly canceling shit. It deserved another season. I don't have to like it. Plenty of shows have shitty early seasons, like several of them. Early seasons of shows historically tend to be pretty weak.
I think that there's so much more to tell, so many more like avenues to explore. All these characters are fucking brilliant, and the writers and the actors are fucking brilliant. I would love to see something like a Firefly if we don't get a season two, three as a TV installment. Like that would be pretty great. I actually fell into Firefly with the movie and was perfectly satisfied to live in the universe of that movie. And years later, found out that there was a TV show that it was based off of, and then heard the drama about that TV show, like the just the fucking with the order in which it was released. And I kind of see that parallel happening with Our Flag Means Death. So
Gotcha.
long answer to I
Great.
believe we'll have something.
You know, if, for those of you who follow the Our Flag Means fan fiction Instagram, I've been occasionally posting videos of my tarot bunny, my bunny who pulls tarot cards. My tarot bunny has always been right in an unexpected way. And when I asked, you know, what is the possibility of there being a season three, I got 10 of Pentacles and the Star card from Tarot Bunny. And 10 of Pentacles is a yes, but it's going to take a really long time, usually in multiples of 10. So for me, I read that as yes, in 10 years, which makes me think season 3 will be 60-year-old pirates going out for one last adventure and maybe finally deciding to get married, because I feel like we need to see the marriage, the wedding. We need to see the wedding.
To see the dancing.
We have a great crew here today. We have our old friend, Lacey, who is host of the Temple of Geek podcast. How are you doing, Lacey? Lacey is doing this podcast while putting on a test drive of makeup for, and what is your makeup look?
It's from Baldur's Gate 3. The character is Isabel. I'm doing a casual Isabel with some friends who are doing Baldur's Gate group this Saturday at WonderCon. And she has, look her up, some very intense eye makeup going on that I am going to try to get symmetrical. But I'm doing pretty well. I actually went to a very cool film event put on by Chimera Films and Mom's Film Festival, I want to say. So it was a bunch of women filmmakers doing presenting a bunch of short films, and there was a networking component, and then they had a Q&A afterwards, which I recorded all of. I don't know what I'm going to do with that recording, but it was a very good conversation, and we're talking about gatekeeping and storytelling and literally going back to something you always talk about, Carly, which is the like telling stories around a fire and like sharing stories and history and culture, and I just like, love this. So maybe I'll just clean that audio file and send it to you.
Thank you.
And then I had asked a question about, I think it was actually, I was the only one who got to ask the question, but I was actually very satisfied and happy that it sparked a good discussion. It was basically like, listen, everybody's talking about how it feels like the film industry is crumbling right now. What are your thoughts? Since this is like a very interesting and hopeful, like very much like a hopeful vibe going on. And so the main theme was independent film is great right now. Or a lot of people, like with the studio system and the streamers being whack, there's a lot of really cool storytelling being told via direct or crowdfunding models and that type of investment for production. And I was actually chatting with some of them afterwards, and I guess they were all like, the filmmakers were all kind of like really glad to get the chance to answer that question.
Lacey, you are the rock star asking questions. I just have to say that, like, for anyone who is hiring someone to interview people, Lacey always asks the best questions. And one of the most important press conferences of 2023, I was there. You asked the question that literally everyone at the press conference wanted asked, because everyone at the podium was practically like cheering when you asked that. So anyway, hire Lacey is what I'm saying.
I'm good at scripting and planning and doing great makeup.
And keeping us on task and on time.
I was like, can we have an outline? I want to know what we're talking about when.
Also joining us is Carly Delso Saavedra, the Southern Hemisphere Carly, and who is responsible for getting the fandom together in all sorts of events. And Carly, what have you been up to lately?
Well, let's see. I just had a gay pirate friend visiting over the weekend, and that was really fun. So, whirlwind tour of my city, of which I love.
San Diego.
I've been giving myself some assignments of posting my damn pictures, because I take a lot of them and I don't share them.
I was thinking, with your Venus opposite Saturn, you always make great stuff, but it takes you a long time to put it out there.
That sounds about right. Yes. There's a running joke in my family that because I've been a photographer, or at least I had a camera in my hands since high school. And there's a running joke in my family that is, I've never had film in the camera because they've never seen any of the pictures that I've taken. So I'm trying to remedy that. So just doing a lot of editing and just finding ways to kind of figure out how to do scheduling on Instagram. Yeah. So yeah.
Also joining us on the pod is a new co-host. They are a legend in the fandom. They ran the Con O'Neill Love Project and previously ran Daddy Daily on Twitter, which featured a picture of Con every day. They're also responsible for a Golden Girls Our Flag account called Our Flag Means Cheesecake, which has been on hiatus, but there's plans to start it up again. They've written tons of Our Flag fanfic, and they're a convention vendor who makes lots of Our Flags buttons and bling. Yes, we have Ringa Sun joining us on the pod.
Yay.
From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the hub of the R Flag fandom wheel.
Yep, we're the gay pirate hotspot.
And what's it like for those of us who've never been to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? Can you describe the milieu?
And what makes it the gay pirate hotspot? I want to know more.
There's apparently a lot of big name fans here, for one thing. And then, I don't know, I keep hosting these Our Flag Means Death events, and they have huge turnouts here. I was not expecting. But apparently, just, I don't know, Pittsburgh's got, it's a big, prideful city. Our baseball team is called the Pirates. I know Amanda mentioned that before, but literally pirates.com will take you to the Pittsburgh baseball team, and they have a pride day, you know, in the summer, which we're all planning on going to in our Flag Means Death cosplay this year. So sweet. Yeah, that'll be super fun. I don't know. Pittsburgh is pretty chill. It's like been named one of the most livable cities in America for like 80 billion years in a row. And I love it here. There's three rivers and everything flows around all that. We have a jillion bridges. Sometimes they collapse and we have memes made about us. And oh, if you've ever seen the GIF of the dumpster that is like floating down the street. Yeah, that's you guys. That's literally right down the street from where I live currently.
Oh yeah. My God. The home of the floating dumpster fire. This is what if I was the mayor of a city, I would put that on a flag and I would make that our new slogan.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Gotta be one of my favorite dumpsters of all time.
It's really good. I've never seen
that. It's the meme of my life.
Yeah, I've never seen that happen before or since, but it was pretty exciting. We do get a lot of, because, you know, we've got all these rivers and we have lots of like hills and valleys here. So if it rains a lot, it's very possible that roads flood. There's a parking lot downtown that is never open because it's right on the river and it is constantly underwater.
What you're saying is it would be really smart if everyone in Pittsburgh built a pirate ship.
Yes.
It would be like the next Noah's Ark during climate change, the floods. Yes. Like you all get together, you build a pirate ship, you put all of your pets on it, and it'll be biblical.
Yeah, we do have like a boat company here that does little tour things, and you know, right. Everyone's prom is on a boat here. Like everybody's prom is on a boat, and you know, they do little ferries. You can take a ferry to the football stadium and stuff like that. So we've got lots of little boat things going on here, and I believe still, at least for a while, there was one of them that was like a pirate ship with pirates on it and stuff. I am not sure if that still exists, but you know, when the baseball team, the Pirates, has games, people do go out on their boats and dress like pirates and raise the Jolly Roger is what everyone says here when someone on our baseball team gets a run or I don't know. We don't get it very much. The baseball team kind of sucks, but you know.
And how did you first discover Our Flag Means Death?
So I'm a big Taika Waititi fan, and that's where I first heard about it. Well, that actually, we were talking earlier how like my fandom before this was Marvel, and still very much is, but you know. So I came to know him in when he started doing the Thor movies, and then went, you know, back and did all his filmography. Jojo Rabbit's one of my favorite films of all time. So good. I saw it 4 times in the theater. But yeah, so I'm also a big fan of pirate history and, you know, have a lot of books and have been interested in pirates for a long time. So it was kind of like they made this show just for me.
And what inspired you to get so, and did you watch the show when it like first debuted, or did you like start watching it after a few like episodes had already aired?
It was after a few episodes had come out, because I kind of forgot the timing of what, you know, was going to happen. But I have a friend who we watch shows together a lot, just not in the same room. We'll just be in our houses and be watching them and messaging each other about it, you know. I was like, let's watch this pirate show. So, you know, we did. And when we got to like the kiss scene, And she's messaging me, are you okay?
At what point in the watching of the show were you like, oh no, I love this?
Pretty early on. Like, honestly, as soon as Steed comes in on the first episode, like, that's just where it gets everyone. Because what? Look at this funny little man.
This loser. I love him.
I love him. He showed up on screen and I was like, done.
Yeah. And I love, because I like pirate history, I love how they do this, like, we're not doing this historically accurate, but we're putting enough in to let you know that we know about the history and we're choosing not to use it. Like the first, you know, the first line Izzy says in the whole show is, you know, what kind of idiot runs a ship aground? And Izzy Hands, of course, the historical Israel Hands ran his ship aground.
Really? Oh, I love that.
Trying to help Blackbeard, who had ran his ship aground. And legend has it that Israel Hands has ran his ship aground two other times as well. But I mean, he was 16. What do you want?
You've got to meet a lot of cast and crew. What's been your favorite meeting a member of the cast and or crew story?
So we do cosplay, me and some of my friends, and I do Steed because I have blonde hair, and my friend does Lucius, and she has made this Lucius book, you know, like what he has, and includes a very accurate drawing of the penis. It looks exactly like it does on the screen. She did an amazing job with it. But when I went to SuperCon, which was the first con I went to with like Our Flag Means Death cast. And, you know, that was the first time I met Con in person, and that was amazing. And I could talk all day about how amazing Con is and how much I love him. But this one is about Nathan, because I had brought her book. We were trying to fill it up so that it's got, you know, not so many blank pages. So I bring it to conventions and have people like sign it and write stuff in it and draw. And I was brought it for Nathan to sign for her. And he was like, oh my God, I brought a calligraphy pen in case he wanted to make it fancy. And he was like freaking out. He's like, I don't know how to hold this. I don't know what to do. And I was like, yeah, here, I started showing him how to write with it. And it's one of those like for beginner ones, like you can't really mess up.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to ruin the book. And I'm like, no, like there's so many penises drawn in this book. There's scribbles. There's like, it doesn't even matter. We're just trying to fill space. And he like held the calligraphy pen for about 2 seconds and then just had like a breakdown over. It was like, I have to write with the marker. And he did. And he wrote, Con O'Neill is a dumb old bitch, which I, you know, they're sitting right next to each other on tables. And I like held up and was like, Con, look at this slander. And he came over and he was like, who wrote that? And I was like, I know, how dare he call you old?
So what was
it? Yeah.
And because you're like a huge Con O'Neill and Izzy fan, what was it like meeting Con O'Neill? Tell us that story. Tell us how that happened. Set the scene.
Being that I'm a convention vendor, I have a lot of convention vendor friends. And I have one who travels all over the country. She lives in Florida, like about an hour away from Orlando. And I was like, hey, are you vending at this SuperCon in Miami? And she was like, no, I wasn't. And I'm like, you should vend at it and I'll come help you. And you give me your extra ticket and I can stay in the hotel with you. You know, I think she did it just to humor me because Con was going to be there. But I had been chatting with him for a while first on Twitter and then on Instagram.
In DMs?
Yeah.
Nice.
How did that happen?
Well, that honestly came about because I, like I said, loud and social and also political. And he's very much that way too. So back when he still had a Twitter, I would always be in his threads, like fighting with people who wanted to, you know, be like, trans women aren't women, shit like that. So he got to know who I was back then, when I was like, come fight me, you know, like on all the Twitter feeds and stuff. And then when he got rid of Twitter and moved to Instagram, it was just like kind of tagging him here and there. But then a friend of mine not this past January, but the one before that, it was my 40th birthday and she was missing it. She was going to be in LA. And I found out that he was in LA like that same time. And I was like, all right, you're forgiven for missing my birthday. if you bring Khan back with you. And she's like, okay, whatever. So unbeknownst to me, she sent him a message. And I can't believe he didn't like block all of us when this happened, because she wrote like, well, first she confused the poor man. She said, my best friend of 26 years is turning 40 on the 21st.
A lot of numbers, like, man.
Too many numbers. So she's like, and they said that, you know, I'd only be forgiven for missing their birthday if I brought you back with me. But I think TSA will notice if you're in my suitcase. And I was like, Jesus Christ, why would you do that? And she didn't tell me she did that. So on my birthday, it's also one of Khan's good friend's birthday too, and they posted a picture together, and I just commented on it and was like, I'm pretending this is the picture you posted for my birthday too, because it's my birthday, you know, like. And he was like, a funny thing about that is your friend asked me to message you for your birthday, but I put it in my calendar as the wrong day. So he put it in as the 26th instead of the 21st, because she gave him too many numbers.
26 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You got it. And then he sent me a screen grab of his like calendar with my name in it, like as if I didn't believe him. And right. So I was like, well, it would have been really wild if you'd sent me a birthday message on the 26th. I would have been very confused. But, you know, he sent me this really lovely birthday message. And yeah. And then after that, we just kind of like chatted here and there. And, you know, it's he's such a sweet guy. He's just amazingly caring and so very giving to all his fans. And, you know,
and then after establishing like the DM relationship, then you got to meet in person.
And I got to meet in person. Yeah. And, oh, wow. And I, you know, went up to, well, we got there to set up the day before, and I was like, let's go look at where their tables are. And actually his table was like right around the corner from my friend's booth. I was like, we're right close to heaven, which is great because I spent so much time there. But yeah, on the Friday of the con, I went over and, you know, he's so chatty. He'll talk to everybody for forever at the convention. Aww. He's always there like an hour after it closes because he wants to make sure he sees everyone and everyone's in line for him, because he's amazing to meet.
That's so great. You give me so much inspiration to eventually be brave.
Everyone I've met from this cast has been amazing. Vico's like that too. Vico would like talk to everyone. Vico immediately was like, what are your pronouns? You know, like, amazing. Love that. But yeah, Khan will, and he's very good about if someone's freaking out and like crying and stuff, he knows how to handle that. And he'll like, you know, put his arm around them and tell them it's okay and all that. Yeah, he's very sweet. But yeah, I got up to his table and I was like, hi, I'm Ringa. And he got out of his chair and like ran around the table and hugged me. And it was like the best hug I've ever had in my life. And yeah. And it felt like he'd known me and hadn't seen me in years, you know, and like not just like some random stranger that he's just meeting for the first time. So he really knows how to make you feel special. And it was amazing. And then I stood there and talked to him and I got a little bit teary talking about how, you know, how much I love for him for speaking up about politics and, you know, trans issues and stuff, because it's a big deal for celebrities to use their voice for those things.
Yeah.
You know, and he's always just like, my pleasure. Cause you know, that's what he's into. But
love that.
And I got back to my friend's booth and I kind of collapsed a little bit. And yeah, but I held it together while I was with him, which is, I meet celebrities all the time, like a lot. So it takes a lot for me to be, you know, overwhelmed. Great. But that was a moment. He's such an amazing dude. So, you know, and then, you know, I had photo ops and stuff with him the rest of the weekend. And then by the time I saw him in New York, couple months later, like he knew me even more then, and like, aww, like I was standing in line and he like pointed at me, you know. So I'm like,
hey. Oh, I love that.
Okay. I know.
I love that. Okay. Very, so let's get into the show today. We are doing Steady Hands today. But first, a little show update. We now have listeners in 32 countries. Jamaica and India are the newest people who have started into the show. We still have no listeners in New Mexico. 2 million people live in New Mexico. None of them listen to the show. So that's a shame.
That's wild. No, for a fact, New Mexico is not that straight.
Albuquerque, where is your queer community? And interestingly, the Izzy episode, just to show how popular Izzy as a character, the Izzy episode far and away has more listeners than any other episode that we have done so far. So I'm curious to see how Steady Hands does.
Yeah.
And we're also doing mini-sodes now on the off weeks. So if you haven't yet checked it out, check out our mini-sode, The Thoroughly and Entirely Improper Cuddling of Edward Teach by Queen Bee 42, which is narrated by Katie Loopy Danger Frog. It is so well done. Katie is a world-class narrator. The writing is so good. I think you'll love it. That brings us into our fandom wrap up, which is the big news is it was Reese's 50th birthday has passed. And so, yay, happy birthday, Reese Darby.
Yay. If you're looking for more content, we've in the canyon have managed to do every pun around the word con imaginable, but he has a show that's been out for a long time in England. Now it came out last year, but it's now airing in the US called Nolly. And it has two episodes out now. The final episode is airing next week, but you can watch that on the PBS app or PBS.com. And he's very adorable in it. And then you should watch it because we want him to get all the good numbers. And, you know, he's great. And aside from that, I don't know if you guys caught this, but I just heard on Twitter before I came on here that Reese is now coming to Basingstoke Con in the summer, or wait, next week or next month or something. I forget when it is, but it had originally been, it was Con Vico and Christian, and Reese just got added to it. Okay, so I'm looking at the Twitter right now, and what it is that he can't come on Friday and is not part of whatever pirate pass is. So if you have a pirate pass, you can't, he's not part of that, but he will be there Saturday and Sunday, it says. Yay! So if you're going to Basingstoke Comic Con, which is the May 10th through the 12th, so yeah, like a little less than 2 months.
Where the fuck is Basingstoke?
It's in England, you know, in one of those cities.
England has the weirdest ass names for their places.
Everybody has been saying that about Basingstoke. They're like, how the fuck do you get to I'm sorry, are we allowed to swear?
Yes.
How do you get to Basingstoke? I know some people from like other European places were like, I'm not even trying for this one, because apparently it's hard to get there by public transit.
Okay, Carly, do you have any fandom news?
Well, other than like Vico is doing, you know, another of 7 bazillion million like drag shows and readings, and I think they're kind of doing some more cool stuff in like directing as well. So like I'm just through the Instagram I see all these things happening in LA and I get serious FOMO, and I would be at everything because I think they're brilliant.
Cool.
And I'll so people can vampire themed something this coming Sunday that
I want to go to that special guest WonderCon.
Yeah,
I'm literally going to be painted green on Sunday of WonderCon. I can't get to a fucking drag show.
I think you should go to the drag show dressed in green.
I mean, would blend right
not
in.
Dressed in green. I'm cosplaying Elphaba on Sunday.
That's fine. I think they would love it.
Yeah, they probably would.
The queens that I know would be like, yes, green queen, come on.
And Lacey, do you have any fandom news?
I mean, the only thing I came across was also Vico related. I think it was on Polygon where they were talking about Star Wars being the reason that they sword fight. And I just love that.
Aw.
And nothing else to ask you.
So the Cryptid Factor published new Nessie footage that might be like the newest, greatest Nessie footage that we have seen in a while. I watched it. I thought it was cool. Did you guys get a chance to see that?
I did. Yeah, I'm a cryptid knight. So I'm also very into the cryptids. And it was super, very, very cool that they got to be the team that released all that and everything, and Buttons got to edit the pictures together and everything. That's amazing for them.
I, not to make this about me, But so I have this other podcast called The Astrology of Terrible Things, and I haven't updated it in like 3 months because I got busy with you guys. But like months ago, I did an astrology of the Loch Ness Monster episode, and I decided to just check, has anyone been like listening to my podcast at all? And I saw randomly on that day, 11 unique people in Christchurch, New Zealand, listened to my Nessie episode after like no one, you know, single digit numbers here and there, but like, because it hasn't been updated. And I'm like, excuse me, what? Who are these people in Christchurch, New Zealand?
Oh, you know who these people are.
Who are these people in Christchurch, New Zealand, who are listening to my Nessie episode, my astrology of the Loch Ness Monster? And so I Googled the population of Christchurch, New Zealand. So there's like an 11 in 381,000 chance.
Well, you know, like that's where I know Rosie's family is there, I believe. Or maybe I got that wrong, but I know that that is a place that is significant to Reese. So, and he's there for, you know, doing the birthday thing. So,
what the fuck?
Not a large country, you guys. I live in California.
I'm just saying there's an 11 in 381,000 chance. And also today, someone from Christchurch, New Zealand listened to our Steed episode.
Reese, are you there?
Are you there, bestie? Are you there? Reach out. Blink twice. Come on our show. We're nice. And we love you. We are getting right into our main show. We're talking about steady hands this week. First, let's get a definition. And Ringa, I'm going to have you define this. What is steady hands?
That would be Ed and Steed and Izzy in love.
Three people in love. What?
Oh,
what?
I know.
What? What crazy Gen Z stuff is this?
Kids and, nowadays, I tell you.
And this show could have made it happen. I mean, when we get our season 3 musical, you never know.
And how could potentially steady hands happen? How do you visualize that? What is your headcanon of this happening?
Well, obviously, Izzy and Steed are in love. Like, that's obvious. You can see that just by looking at the show. From the moment they meet, they just want to jump each other's bones.
Now is it a lot of is it though from the moment
of the shirt?
Yeah. The slicing of the shirt, indeed.
Right.
But was it who fell first? Was it Izzy falling first or was it Steed falling?
I think that they both fell at the same time. They just don't know about it. And Izzy doesn't have, at that point, at least, doesn't have the emotional expanse within him to define what his feelings are for Steed. So, you know, that doesn't come in until season 2 when he's growing as a character and then him and Steed become buddies, you know, and we can move on from there. But you know, I swear, if we'd had a 10-episode season, it would have ended with steady hands reveal.
What would that steady hands reveal look like? What do you see happening there?
Well, it's interesting now, like the way season 2 went with how Ed was, I'm not sure what exactly they would have done there. There's a lot of fanfic of after episode 7, you know, when Ed leaves and Steed and Izzy go back to the ship and, you know, comfort each other. And but yeah, so I am mad at season 2 Ed. He's been naughty.
Does the cat's collar potato sack make up for his, like, does he redeem himself through the cat collar potato sack, or does he have more redeeming to do?
He has more redeeming to do, especially towards Izzy, who he didn't really give a proper apology to. It's just, you know, just my feelings on it, but he saying, sorry about your leg, doesn't really count. So,
yeah.
See, there's a lot of steady hands fanfic, even from season 1, or like after season 1, you know, when Steed comes back and finds out about the toe and, you know, this and that. There's a lot of fanfic that goes from there into Steed being sympathetic to Izzy, and they get closer that way. And then, you know, Steady Hands works because we have like each of their, you know, sides of the triangle have some kind of an issue on their own, but all together they work really well. Like, you know, Steed and Ed have their whim prone thing, and they're dramatic, and they're just like, let's just make an inn out of this shack and it's fine, you know. And then Ed and Izzy have like decades of trauma that they don't want to talk about, and it's fine. We'll just drink about it.
And what do Steed and Izzy have? Me personally, I want to see Steed take care of Izzy while he's injured.
Yes.
We love a hurt comfort. Accidentally, as like a 14-year-old, spicy fix that I read was Hurt Comfort, Aragorn and Legolas in like 2004.
Nice.
Hurt Comfort is fantastic, but also they have that delicious bitch for bitch tension together. So I love all the hate ships, you know, like those tend to be the ones that I go for, you know, like Steve and Tony and Avengers and stuff like that. But like, because there's a lot of passion there. So
Lacey, you have a lot of feelings, I feel like, about Steady Hands. And also you said in the first episode so that we recorded about the healing that needs to take place around that dynamic.
They all just have so many things that have happened to them. And healing is like a huge overall theme in the show, just kind of in the text of it, not like talked about in those terms, but it's just shown, which I think Jenkins and Sherman and everybody did a very good job portraying without slapping you in the face with it. And so like, I feel like for a lot of people who didn't get to be themselves or experience like someone actually caring about them when they were young in various forms, which like is showcased heavily for Ed and Steed, or actually it's showcased heavily for Steed. It is touched on in a way that we can see it was deeply effective for Ed, and we don't really see it for Izzy in callbacks, but like you can see it in like who he is as a person. I would have liked if the show explored that more, and I think just getting to see the like good interactions that they have with each other or with the crew in fanfic that aren't in the text of the show, I really like that it can carry that healing theme through, and if they fuck about it, even better.
I mean, once are you going to get your healing?
Yeah, there's something else interesting that comes up a lot in, not just in fanfic, but in, think of the way to phrase this in general, because I'm drawing a connection between a few things. A lot of explicit rated fanfic, especially today, does contain a lot of kink and kink themes. And I do find that a lot of it is fairly, you know, this fanfic, romance and erotica are fantasy, but for the most part, so is kink. A lot of kinks are developed when you are young, not necessarily fully fledged when you are young, but typically for a lot of people, kinks that they have were formed and like seeded when you were super early. And for a lot of people, not everyone, I want to be very careful when I talk about these topics because I want to be accurate. A lot of people use kink or BDSM activities, and there's a variety, sexual and non-sexual, to heal from or process trauma. That could be an entire deep dive on its own, and there are plenty of podcasts and sex educators that do talk about that. But that's one of the things that when I do find a good explicit fic with plot and spicy capsaicin on it, I find really interesting and enjoyable from like, you know, an adult woman reading erotic content perspective, as well as a kind of academic perspective, because I think fanfic is fulfilling and healing in a lot of ways, and just so stories are important and healing. And I think that's a really interesting aspect of it. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
I love it. I think the kink is canon for end of season one, right? Between Ed and Izzy. Like that.
Basically, the toe scene don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
There's definitely something Whether they don't know how to classify it. Whether it's negotiated and consensual up for debate.
Well, I mean, I think we can all agree that Izzy was definitely enjoying having his toe cut off and fed to him more than we would be, probably.
And I think, like, the slamming up against the wall with, like, the
choking. Oh, yeah, he loved that.
Yeah, and I think that that was kind of the brokenness of, like, people who have gone through a lot of trauma, and this is kind of, like, how they bond through their trauma, which isn't necessarily the healthiest of ways for at least those two characters in what they were doing, but...
Yeah, this is... We're talking, like, about a very specific context. We're not... Connections.
Yeah.
I want to make it clear that we're talking about these two characters in a very specific context, and not, I don't want anyone to interpret this as us saying that you have kinks because you're broken, which right. I know is not what you are saying. So yeah. I want to make it explicitly clear that that's yeah. not what we're saying.
Yeah, no, no. The canon to the TV show, Our Flag Means Death, and the season, end of season one. Well, those two characters.
It's interesting. There's kind of like two main flavors of the Steady Hands relationship from what I have seen in fanfic. And obviously there's lots of other little here and there, but mostly we either get that like Izzy and Ed have this, you know, BDSM kind of relationship. And then Steed is there to provide the aftercare that they'd never be able to give it. They've never been able to give each other before, you know, cause who knows what that is in 1717, but there's either that, or we have where like Izzy craves that kind of BDSM relationship that he's always had with Ed, but Ed doesn't feel like he can give it to him anymore because he's trying to leave the Kraken behind and he doesn't want to hurt people anymore. So then Steed steps in and he becomes the Dom and gives Izzy what he's craving. And that's, I love both of them. I love Steed being, you know, the caretaker and being like the daddy dom, you know, love all that. I love everything with these three. They all work so very well together, but I just love that there's, and I feel like I always end up having an OT3 in any of my fandoms. I don't know what that says about me. But
what is that?
Because the heteropatriarchy and monogamy is a myth.
Right.
What was that? Who is talking?
We're all trying to explain it at the same time. Like,
I'll let Ringa.
It's just an OTP, but with three instead of two. You know, instead of pairing, it's a threesome.
One true pairing, one true three.
OT
just because it rhymes.
Yeah. One true.
What are your favorite types of Steed and Izzy type scenes? What do you love in your face? Or what haven't you seen yet, but you would love to see that?
I like when they're all having, like, I think we were denied the chance to see all three of them being successful co-captains and first mate, like, on the ship. Because we did get to see a lot of that with Izzy and Steed, like, with Izzy, like, the training montage and everything, and, like, the mutual respect and admiration, and, like, Steed's glow up into being competent. It would have been really nice to see them all just like revolving around each other and working together as rad pirates.
Yeah, I tend to like fic more that's like a current like show canon setting where they're like pirates on the ship rather than AUs or anything. I mean, I like those too, but I guess I just want a lot of the ones that are like, they take it from here and here's how what you want happens, you know, from what has happened in canon.
The mixing and matching of all the dynamics. So I got to, of the four that I did that I've read so far in this last week, how each fanfic writer kind of approaches what is already there in the dynamic between the three. So one of them is, you know, the coming into like Ed and Izzy together having come to this impasse of a relationship of like they're kind of at a plateau. They don't really know if they're really together anymore, if they really love each other anymore, if they're into each other anymore. And then Steed comes in as like the new exciting flavor that kind of brings them all back to life again. And then they kind of meet up and all that.
The most funny things that happen with this threesome here is Izzy and Steed like bitching at each other. You know, like that is high quality content in every story where they're just, they have a back and forth dialogue and they're just like constantly at each other and Ed has to be like, come on, you know, like, let's get it together. So I really love that, and there can never be enough of it. But I do enjoy a scene where they have to dress up for some silly reason that sometimes isn't even explained in the fic, and you know,
that reason.
Somebody has to be the bride, and somebody's got to wear a dress, and oh no, Izzy has to wear fancy seed clothes, and you know, those are always exciting because he always hates it, but does he?
I mean, I would love
things, Izzy.
I would love to see them all go shopping together.
Oh my god,
go to the tailors.
Izzy would hate that too. Izzy's definitely like the dad that, you know, just sits on the bench outside the store while the other guys are like trying on things for hours, and he's just like playing Words with Friends on his phone.
I would also love to see the cinematic parallels between the Ed, Steed, Izzy thruple, and then the Archie, Jim, Oluwande, Jang, polycule, and basically showing that the kids have it figured out, and the kids have like the good relationship.
Oh yeah,
and the grown-ups are a mess, and I would love somehow the plot to be like the three and the four, and they have to. You know, the old sitcom is like, we're on teams and we have to play capture the flag, or we have to win some sort of contest, or it's, you know, boys against girls or whatever, but it's going to be like the olds versus the youngs. And it's like, okay, you guys do XYZ over here. You guys do XYZ over here. Whoever wins, wins, but it's the kids that do it better.
I mean, there is constantly in Steady Hands Fix where Lucius is the one that tells them all, and he does that in the show too, he tells them all how they're feeling because they don't know it, and he tells them all how to fix whatever because they have no idea. So that is one thing that has definitely carried over from the show, where like Lucius is just rolling his eyes like, oh my god, really? You don't? And then gets them all together. So yes, absolutely. The kids have it right, and these stubborn old men.
I like to see all three of them fail epically and comically. Like,
oh yeah,
they decide that they're going to like quit piracy and go and hide in the ranch and like lose all the cows and the sheep every day or something. You know, like I don't know, just some totally out of their element, and they just, it's slapstick at some point because they're just so bad what they're trying to do.
All right. This is a good time to get into our fic recs. And I know Ringa has plenty
of
fic recs. So start giving it to us and give us the pitch of each one.
I have two by the writer Oopsie Daisy, which is, yes, HIDAISY, Oopsie Daisy. And I love them. They're an amazing writer. Let's see, the first one I have is called All the Very Best of Us String Ourselves Up for Love. And it is a soulmate AU. And in this, this is one where like a mark of some kind appears when, you know, you meet your soulmate. And it's where you've already had some kind of a mark on you somewhere, and that mark appears on your soulmate when you meet them. So you have matching marks. And in this, Steed is Ed's soulmate, and Izzy is Steed's soulmate, and Ed is Izzy's soulmate. And they, you know, Izzy's been hiding that from Ed for forever, and it's an interesting dynamic where like they all like it. Ed's really into it, but like Steed's not his soulmate because, you know, and wackiness ensues and they all end up together. But it's amazing. It's 21,000 words. So it's, you know, an evening read if you want to sit down and power your way through it. They also did this series called Love Like a Powder Keg, which has the story Always Been a Storm, which is one of my favorite Steady Hands Fix. Like ever. It's very good for like just a long, slow burn of them getting together. And it has lots of little separate fics in the series that are like missing scenes and prequels and things like that. Like it goes back to like Ed and Izzy in their younger days for like a scene and stuff like that. So it's just full of every kind of content you want and highly recommend. Okay, then I have a series called, the series is called Low Hangs the Moon. And it's by Perilit. I'm probably saying that wrong. Perilit. And I love this series. It is a modern AU, but it is where all three characters are middle-aged and have some kind of a disability. So, yeah, it's very interesting because they all have to take care of each other in different ways. Like Ed's knee, you know, is a big factor in this one where he's constantly got knee problems. Like there's one part of this where he like slips on the ice and falls down and he can't get up and he has to call Steed and Izzy to come rescue him. And
oh, I love that.
Yeah. There's like, you know, there's a one of the fics where like Steed has a panic attack because of something that happens in the shop that he runs and like they have to come and help him, you know, like get it together. So it's just extremely real. And very, you know, if anyone has any kind of disabilities, I think you would enjoy reading this.
Yeah. And that's, what's the title again?
That's called, the series is called Low Hangs the Moon. They will pop a new story out every here and there. I think the last one they added was last September, maybe. But yeah, like every couple months, it seemed like they had something coming out. And very, very good. A quick series. First of all, Penguin Gal is a writer and I recommend everything they write. They're fantastic. I love their characterization of everybody, but there's a series of theirs called Izzy Hands Love and Redemption, or Izzy Gets to Have a Nice Day. And it's, you would like it, Lacey, because it's a lot of like getting together and stuff, but it's like sex and there's sex going on. There's kinks going on. There's, you know, anything you can imagine happening in every single one of these stories. So yeah, it's good for, and they're shorter stories, like this one's like 6K and this one's 4K, you know, but they're all part of this series, but they can be read alone.
All right. I probably wrecked this already on one of the other episodes, but it's A Man, an Animal is the title, and the author is Gear Smoke. One word, G-E-A-R. Smoke. Yeah, it's the three of them. It is just definitely kinky, and that's my rec.
Nice. Can you tell us like the plot?
I think it's just it's, you know, like a bedroom scene of the three of them. I believe Steve is voyeuring at the beginning. There's definitely like a daddy dom care dom moment with Steve where he like tells Izzy that like it's okay, and Izzy, it just breaks Izzy in the best way. That's a really interesting dynamic between the three of them.
So like the first one that I, the Steady Hands that had read prior to like the announcement of this being that theme was the Ochre Resin and Light by Only One Day. And that one's a fun one in that like it's incredibly competent, talented Izzy and Ed, and they are kind of art curators in a way. Well, not like they save old paintings, so like between the two of them they work through a museum and they kind of rescue paintings, but in their relationship their dynamic is one of just routine and kind of taking each other for granted, and kind of the spark has been lost between them, but they're a married couple of like 20 years or something like that. So it's an already established coupledom that we come into, and then they start in on a painting that they like as they work through the layers of like dust and dirt and soot and years of neglect on a painting, they come down to like this beautiful portrait of a beautiful man with golden hair, and they each start falling in love with this painting of this person, and in their individual little play worlds they like start like coming up with these stories of like who this person might be and like kind of falling in love with the painting, and then they run into somebody in real life that is that painting, that like is that doppelganger, and that's how Steve comes into their life. almost that's, as if it were.
That's so poetic and literary.
Beautifully written.
Yeah.
Written. So that one was, I read that one a long, long time ago, and I have loved that one. So that one is one that I highly recommend. The next one that I read was Had We Lived, and yeah. Had We Lived is by Nasri, Nasri. And this one is, they, Ed and Izzy own a bar, and Izzy is the one that just runs every single little detail at that bar. And Edward just comes in and out whenever he wants. And this one is one where I think I've already talked about this. Like, when it comes to fan fiction, I just dive in. Like, somebody recommends something, I bookmark it and I read it later. Like, I haven't learned my lesson yet about reading the labels or the warnings or whether or not it's even finished, how long it's written. Maybe I'll never get an ending to this. RIP, Our Flag Means Death, end of season two. So this one here is one that like just dives right in the way that like season two dives right in to kind of just the brutality of the relationship between Ed and Steed. And in this one, it is like what we were talking about earlier with Lacey, kind of this kind of BDSM relationship that maybe has kind of almost run its course in that, like, this is what we used to do when we were in love. And now it's just something that like we do because we've always done. And then in comes Steed as kind of a balm and to help them kind of start seeing each other differently and help them kind of work through their shit as the added third person into that dynamic. So I really liked it in that respect. But it is one where I was like, I was joking around with Loopy Danger Frog a couple days ago about this one, where like, when it comes to fan fiction and recommendations, I am totally like, I raw dog it. Like, I don't fucking look at the labels. I don't look at the warnings. I don't look at anything. I just kind of fucking jive in. And this one is the one where I was like, shit, like, I know enough about kind of the BDSM community to have just been able to jump into this and be like, okay. But it's definitely the one where, if people have experienced some trauma around issues with violence, this is a hard one to jump into and a hard one to read. Mm. But I think they navigated it well by the end. So that's the third one. And then the second one, rather. And then the third one is Would You Worship Gravity by The Hands? And that one is just fucking luscious, beautifully written, incredibly rich in its details and kind of the buildup and the dynamic relationships that they all have. It includes fucking Calico Jack in a way that I actually really like and respect Calico Jack, which is like, that's not a sentence I thought would ever come out of my mouth for that man. But in this story, it actually, he fits in really well in how they work that dynamic in. So yeah, that one is beautiful. I highly recommend that third fiction. Cool. And that's all I've read in terms of completion, like completing them. I'm still
thank you. And Would You Worship Graffiti? It's been put on here as a rec before. It is the plane pilot one, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, they're pilots.
Yeah. So delicious. It's so good.
Okay, Ringa, I know you have about 15 other recs to get through. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go. Lightning round.
Yeah. So I know Would You Worship Gravity and Ochre, Resin, and Light were talked about on the Izzy episode. And this one is too, To the Lonely Sea in the Sky by, I don't know how to pronounce their name, but it is ZYTHEPSARY.
And I'm chapter 4 of that one.
It's so good. It is.
It is.
Possibly my favorite Steady Hands fic ever. The dialogue is perfect. The characterization is perfect. Izzy's teaching Steed his sword play, their sword fight, and you know all that stuff. And you
know, what's the title again? To the Lonely Sea.
To the Lonely Sea and the Sky. There's technically a fic that comes before it called like A Whetted Knife, and you don't have to read that, but I recommend reading it because it gives a lot of insight. It's mostly about Izzy and Ed because it takes place when Steed is off the boat, but it gives a lot of their background. And there are things that come up in To the Lonely Sea in the Sky that happened in that other one that I just think it flows better if you read them both, but you know, you don't have to. It's long, so you know, buckle in, but highly recommend. And then we have a series by Unappeasable Thumbs, who is one of my fandom besties, and I love everything she writes. Mm-hmm. And this series is called A Heart for Home, and it is Omegaverse
Describe, okay, so we like to pretend that our audience doesn't know anything. Describe, define Omegaverse for us.
So, I mean, the easiest way, if you really have no idea what it is, you're not going to really understand it from anything I say. You have to read a fic about it to really get it. But just the easiest way to say it is that humans have secondary genders and animalistic desires, and that causes them to go into heat like a cat does, and some of them, you know, and they, you know, put out scents that are irresistible to others, which really, really works well with steady hands, because especially if you've got like a bitch for bitch Steed and Izzy, and Steed's the alpha and Izzy's the omega, and they can't stand each other, but then Izzy goes into heat and all of a sudden, my god, they can't keep their hands off each other. So, you know, it's really good. I very much like Omegaverse, and it can be so sweet too, because, you know, part of it is like, if you bond with, you know, your alpha or whatever, like they are taking care of you and stuff, so you get a lot of that like fluff and things if you're into that. But I mean, there's, you know, it's a lot of sex things happening. Omegaverse is very heavy on the sex stuff.
I don't think I've ever read one that wasn't.
I don't think so either. But
we should. I'd love to include more. Oh, my headphones bowed to that. Sorry.
There's someone. My headset died. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I'd love to include like a trope, or like get into more like fandom history, fanfic history on our pod.
The like, origin of Omegaverse.
Well, and things like, well, like, because yeah. One of the things that is like, Omegaverse is relatively new in fanfic world, but it operates on some underlying sexual desire principles or kink principles, depending on how you look at it. And one of the things that preceded it was the concept of sex pollen. So if you understand what sex pollen is from a fanfic perspective, you would kind of get part of the Omegaverse situation. And then that got me thinking, there's probably a lot of people that don't know what that is.
Yeah, okay.
If you've seen the Star Trek Next Generation episode, The Naked Now, it's like that.
Okay, define sex pollen.
It's when a character or characters get exposed to a substance that basically means they have to fuck or die. Fuck or die is also another trope name that can take many forms, one of which being sex pollen, and we have reached a tautology.
Thank you, Professor Lacey Bond.
I have a friend who did their like dissertation on Omegaverse.
I want them as a panelist. I want to run this panel. I want them.
Yeah, Lacey's going to do a Temple of Geek fan fiction.
Yeah.
And I want to be on it.
I call them Dr. Omegaverse, and they don't especially love it, but it's really funny to me.
And so you guys, after the show, connect, share that person's contact information. Let's get them on a panel. Okay, so continue with your thick press.
So yeah, that one's Omegaverse. It's a lot of kink and sex, and it's just filthy, and it's amazing, and I love it. So go read everything by Unopposable Thumbs, but A Heart for Him is my favorite one. Okay, this one is by Kelex, K-E-L-E-X. Also really love their work. This one's called Livestream, and it's one they were doing as a Twitter twitfic or whatever, you know, where like they put out like bits of it at a time on Twitter. I can't handle that. I am so bad with reading like works in progress. I need it to be finished. I need to know there's going to be an ending. But I got into this when they were putting it out because a bunch of my friends were reading it and talking about it. So I suffered along with everyone waiting for the update. And it is a modern AU where Izzy is roommates with Ed, and he becomes like a cam boy to make some money. And Steed is one of his, you know, patrons, and Steed and Ed have met each other, and they're going to do like a cooking show, like a YouTube kind of cooking show. And Izzy's like the producer guy that, you know, because Ed does a gaming YouTube show and Izzy does the producer stuff. So when, you know, Izzy thinks that Steed's a twat, and but he helps because Ed's there, you know, but then Steed like recognizes Izzy never shows his face on his like porn stuff, but Steed recognizes his voice and his like tattoos and stuff, and he's like, oh no. So more wackiness ensues, but it is, there's some like domestic violence bits that is canon typical with Ed and Izzy, but and it's definitely a slow burn, and it goes, you know, it's very long, and I think it's fantastic, and yeah, definitely do that one.
Cool. Do a rapid fire of all the other fit.
Okay, I know. This one's called Man on Fire by Ajax the Great. This one, Lacey, you should read. It is just filth. And it involves Captain Flint, you know, who's another like well-known pirate who is in the Black Sails, you know, show too. But people ship him and Izzy a lot. So basically he and Izzy get together and have like a fling, which we don't see in the show, but like, or in the fic. But then Ed gets really jealous and crazy fucking ensues. Very good one.
Nice.
Yes, I'm going to skip that one because it's all right. Okay. Hip Hop Anonymous. They have a lot of really great stuff. This one's called Indirect Kiss, which is Izzy indirectly kissing Ed by sucking Steed's cock after Ed has.
Yes.
That's the basic rundown of it. I will let you figure out the rest. Let's see. This one's called Gunpowder, Leather, and Lace by Red Shirt Wearer 34567. I assume this is a Star Trek reference.
What is the title? The author's name again? Red Shirt what?
Red Shirt Writer.
Writer, yeah.
34567. It could, yeah. This one is one where Izzy puts on some pretty lingerie and comes out and does a little show for Steed and Ed. It's a short one. Very good, yes. Okay. This one's called To the Open Arms of the Sea by Sushi. They have a lot of really good steady hand stuff too, but this one, they're punishing Izzy by making him kind of like Steed's valet for a day, kind of, where he has to like dress him and bathe him and stuff. It's very kinky. Lots of kinky things happening. Yes. And I kind of skipped over several of the other ones, just, you know.
Yeah, we're
a little bit.
We're getting long. And I
warned you. I said, you're like, as many as you want. And I'm like,
we're instituting a 5-rec limit after this episode.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, maybe we should do that. But I'm like, maybe there's some good stuff there. We want to give it all. Okay, cool. At some point, it would be great if you could send me like a full list and I'll just put it in the show notes. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so we'll wrap things up. You guys, if you are listening, please, please give this show a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for the show. Do it to show the world that the R Flag fandom is interested in all R Flag related content. And that way, the show can survive somehow, some way out there, right? So give us a 5-star review and a rating. We got our first ever review on Apple Podcasts from someone. So thank you to that person who gave us a review. Awesome. And also, if you would like to record a mini-sode, you can do that. Find a fic that you love, record 30 to 60 minutes of it yourself reading the fic. Send it to me at rflagmeansfanfiction@gmail.com. Make sure you get the author's permission first, and we will play it during one of our mini-sodes. And follow us on Instagram at rflagmeansfanfiction, all one word. And occasionally you will see little videos of my tarot bunny giving tarot readings. For all of you guys, where can people find you and what are you up to next? Ringo, where can people find you? What are you up to?
I am Ringa Sun on basically everything. That's RINGASUNN. That's kind of my name on all social media platforms. And I'm, you know, organizing some stuff for, I have a Calypso's birthday party part 2 coming up at the Haunted They Bar that my friends own. So if you're in the Pittsburgh area, look up Harold's Haunt and follow them and come party with us. It's May 25th, which is actually 2 months from today. And we had a super great time at the first one, including a baby goat. And
you had a baby goat.
Yeah, we had a baby goat at the bar. It was very, very cool. So yeah, that's coming up in a couple months.
And Lacey, I see both Lacey and Carly are getting into bed. Lacey, where can people find you? I'm
just on my bed. Don't worry. I am at Joy Goblin on TikTok and at joy.goblin on Instagram and at Joy Goblin on Twitter. I'm mostly on Instagram, though. If you come to the SoCal Renaissance Fair, you'll probably find me there. Starts on April 6th. And if you come to WonderCon, my panel is Friday, 2 p.m. Room 300A, Causability, presented by SheepProp.
Beautiful. Carly, where can people find you? And what do you
Hi. Do? Well, I will be at WonderCon at 2 p.m. Friday in room what?
300A.
300A. That's where I'll be on Friday. You can find me on WGA underscore fandom for like the just kind of general, our fandom is fucking badass and we're trying to support our writers and actors and people who are fighting for social justice and union power shit all the time. And then if you are well over 18, I keep saying that, but like my Twitter right now is very not like, it was all just focused on like the renewal, but it is a Slay and Chilean on the Twitters. But yeah, it will someday soon be all about what I originally came to Twitter for, which was gay pirate sex, which middle-aged men, gay pirate sex. It's my new kink. It's good stuff.
And I'm Carly Heath, and you can find me at Carly L. Heath on Twitter and Carly Lynn Heath on Instagram. And on AO3, I'm Yavid underscore Jenkins. And my book, The Reckless Kind, can be found at bookstores everywhere. I may have new publishing news coming soon as well. And I think I'm going to resurrect the Astrology of Terrible Things podcast since 11 people in Christchurch are listening to it. And I got to give them good content. Thank you guys so much for joining me. And again, give us a follow on Our Flag Means Fan Fiction, all one word, on Instagram. Bye.